the tomb of Jesus, the stone was moved. The Lord has gone away. Let's stand on our feet while we sing it, and then we'll ask the pastor to come.
When Mary came to find the tomb of Jesus, the stone was moved, the Lord had gone away. Angels said, "Fear not, for he has risen." Why seek the living here among the dead? The stone is rolled back on, the tomb is empty gone, the dead
each one tonight, and we give you a warm welcome tonight into the service. What I planned to preach on tonight has changed, and I want to preach on something different. Let's turn in our Bibles tonight till John 15, and I want to talk about receiving the Holy Spirit tonight. I was going to be talking on faith and confession, but that's changed. John 15, verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Then if we could read in Galatians, two verses in Galatians chapter 4, verse 5 and 6 of Galatians. Galatians 4, verse 5 and 6. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Let's just bow again tonight, and if you have a need for prayer, just lift your hand up before the Lord while every head's bowed tonight. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace, for your love and your truth you've showed toward each and every one of us. And Lord, we come before you tonight, in the name that you've set far above every name, the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that every spirit will be subject to the Holy Spirit. And I do take the Holy Ghost right now to help me. And I thank you that you will. Pray for every hand raised in this room that you'll meet every single need. In the name of Jesus Christ, bind the works of the enemy and spoil his goods in Jesus Christ's name. Touch people tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. The gift of the Spirit, I believe, it is as much a promise of God as salvation is a promise of God. And I believe as we enjoy salvation, we can enjoy the gift of the Holy Spirit. And in John 15, verse 26, but when the Comforter is come, this is the promise of the Father, was that the Holy Spirit would come. And not just that the Holy Spirit would come, but the Father would send him. That he would send the Holy Spirit in my name, the name of Jesus Christ, even the Spirit of truth. I tell you, if you want the truth, you need the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth, which proceeded from the Father. Now, we read in Galatians, let me just read it from another version, so that he might redeem us and liberate those who are under the law, that who believe might be adopted as sons, as children of God, as the rightfully grown members of the family of God. We receive adoption of sons of God by receiving Christ. When you're born again, you are a son and a daughter of God. And the Bible says in John 1 verse 12, till as many as received him, to them give he the power to become the sons of God. There is a power that comes on a man or a woman when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not just talking about an emotion or a church or a movement. I am talking about receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. There is an experience of the Lord Jesus Christ when you're saved, and there is an experience of the Holy Ghost that fills you. And I tell you, we need them and we want them, and it's real. In the same way that you get saved, you have a right to receive the Holy Ghost. Now, I believe the Holy Ghost moves you when you get saved. There's no question about it. The Holy Spirit's already moved you, but there's a filling with it. There's a filling with the Holy Spirit. And when we become sons of God, we are endued with power. John 1:12 has said that. To as many as receive them, to them gives he power. So you've got the power. Now I want you to notice also several conditions that I'm going to mention tonight, indicated in the scripture, which the Holy Spirit's received by. And the first one is the condition of forgiveness. The very first thing a man or a woman needs to do to receive the Holy Spirit is to be forgiven. And every one of us, at one time, before we came to the Lord, we had to come to the place of repentance. Now, when Peter preached a wonderful sermon in the book of Acts, and he got up till verse 38, he said, repent ye therefore, because they said to him, what are we going to do? What will we do that we might be saved? And Peter said, repent ye therefore, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. When you repent of your sins, you are a candidate for the Holy Spirit. But while you remain in your sins, you're not a candidate. The Holy Spirit will come upon those that have repented. He will move a sinner to get saved, but he fills people that are saved. And he won't fill you if you're not saved. It's not scriptural. Because the Bible says that the world cannot receive the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible says. But once you repent of your sins and come to Christ, you're a candidate for the Holy Spirit. And if you get baptized correctly, you can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, we know that the Spirit may be received at water baptism, and all Acts 10:47 is another scripture for the word baptized in water, and they received the Holy Spirit. So even if you have no water, you can still receive the Holy Spirit. You cannot make it an absolute, but you have to have water. Because in Acts 2:38, he told him to be baptized, and in Acts 10:47, he said they had received the Holy Spirit, but they weren't yet baptized, but they'd already got the Holy Ghost. The main thing is repentance. And Jesus Christ himself, when he was here on earth, said, repentance must be preached in all the world before the end comes. And every one of us have to repent because we're born in sin and shapen in iniquity. There has to be a repentance. This holy dove cannot dwell amongst unclean birds. I don't believe that. Christ's first dealing with the temple was to cleanse it, Matthew 21, verse 12. And the Spirit's first dealing with a sinner is to convince him of sin, John 16, verse 8. The Holy Spirit comes to convince us of sin. I hear people talking about getting people dressed right, looking right, and joining them up in all sorts of things. You can never clean a fish till you catch it. You're wasting your time. You have to catch the fish before you'll ever think of cleaning the fish. And we need to be saved. That's the first thing. That's the foremost. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You see, we get the Holy Spirit. There's no shortcut, no shaking hands, no joining church, no denomination, nothing. Except you die to yourself and are born a Spirit of God. That's all there is to it. There's no shortcuts. God has no grandchildren. Every single man and woman must be saved and born again as Spirit of God. Here's another condition. The condition of sonship. Sonship. And we read in Galatians 4:6, because you're sons, God has sent forth his Spirit into your hearts. If you're a son of God, the Spirit sent forth into your heart. The Holy Spirit sent forth the Bible. If a man says he's a son of God and the Holy Spirit's never been on him, something's wrong. That's contradiction to Scripture. The Spirit is sent to the sons of God and the daughters of God. You see, because every son should resemble his father. Amen? We're not illegitimate. We're children of God. And if we are children of God, we must resemble our Father. Now, if we're resembling the devil and the children of the devil, then we are children of the devil. But we must resemble God. A man that's drinking, smoking, fooling about, messing about, is a child of the devil. And every single one of us, at one time, were children of the devil. You're either a child of the devil going to hell, or you're a child of Christ going to heaven. There's no in between. There's no in between. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians, we all once walked according to the course of this world, being led. We were led by the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. There's two spirits. There's an unclean spirit from the devil, and there's the Holy Spirit, and it stands by its name, holy. The Holy Spirit won't lead you to do unclean things. He'll lead you to be holy, because he's holy. So he sent forth the Spirit that they might be changed into his image, 2 Corinthians 3:18. The Holy Spirit changes us into the image of God, and we're changed from glory to glory like unto his own glorious self. We're to be like the Lord. It is one thing to claim relationship, but quite another thing to claim likeness. And there's a lot of people claim relationship, but there's no likeness. But if we're really born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, they have to have a likeness within us to our Father. You know, if you even breed any animal at all you want, it'll look like what it come from. It'll look like it. It'll act like it. And yet the likeness has put the outward evidence of the relationship. Here's another condition. The condition of a felt need. You see, until someone feels a need, they can't come. There has to be the felt need. The need felt to come. I thank God that the Spirit of God moved on me and I felt the need to come. And I needed to come. I remember telling a woman years ago how the Lord saved me and how God moved on me when I was in jail. And she says, "Tommy, that's great that you got saved, but I never needed to get saved. I never done the things you done." And I says, "I'm glad you didn't. But," I says, "the Bible says all your righteousness is as filthy rags." And she wasn't very happy with that. But I want to tell you that every single man and every single woman is a sinner by nature and a sinner by birth. And Jesus' own words is this: there is none good, no, not one. There is no man can save another man. But someone had to come that was superior, that was better, cleaner, purer, and that was the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17 tells us God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. I want to tell you tonight, there's only one way to be saved. That's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But there is a condition that you need to feel the need. I'll tell you, if you were drowning in water and you'd feel the need, you'd reach for a straw, anything at all to help you, to save you. And you must feel the need that you're in a lost condition. "I will pour upon him that's thirsty floods upon dry ground." Isaiah 44:3. This is for the believer as well. That's saved. But you have to also feel a need for the thirst of the Holy Ghost. If you have no thirst for the Holy Spirit, God won't fill you with it. You have no thirst for it. You have no desire for it. "Also he giveth power to the faint." Isaiah 40:29. "And upon those who seek the Holy Spirit, as a man dying of thirst, God will pour the Spirit forth in floods upon them." We have to have a thirst for the Holy Spirit. But those who can live without the Spirit are likely not to ever have the Spirit, because they don't need it. They don't have any desire for it. So there's a need. There's a felt need. Here's also another thing. There's a condition of faith. The condition of faith. "This spoke of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive." John 7:39. "This speak he of the Spirit." Now let me read you from Galatians again, and I want to read Galatians 3:13-14 of Galatians 3. "Christ have redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." Jesus Christ took our place on the cross that we might receive the blessing of Abraham. Amen. And we don't receive it through Abraham or some other man, but we receive it through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that blessing is the Holy Spirit. That's the blessing God wants us to receive. You see, the facts stated, Christ has redeemed us. And the purpose is declared. The facts stated, Christ has redeemed us. That means he's bought you back with his own blood. He took your place, he took my place. And he was hung on a cross that we could be saved. A man that had no sin became sin for me and you. Also, there's a purpose declared that we might receive the Spirit through faith. How strange the fact is generally believed, while the purpose is almost wholly ignored. That's the Holy Ghost. A lot of people ignore the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not going to keep you long tonight. I am in a big, long, drawn sermon tonight. It might only be 15 or 20 minutes. But I felt to bring this, not what I'd prepared. The condition of obedience. God wants obedience. The Holy Ghost, whom God have given to them, Acts 5:32, that obey him. The Lord wants us to obey him. And you have children your own self. Those of you that have children, my youngest boy is now 12. My oldest lad's 26 in a few days. Or is he 26 now? A few days' time. I can't remember. Wednesday. Philip even knows it and I don't know it. But my youngest boy is 12. Now my young lad, he wants something and he has to get it. But I'll tell him, if you do such and such, I'll give you it. And he keeps it as mommy, ignores me, and he keeps it soft mom. He's his mommy's boy, and he keeps it mom, mom, I have to get it. And if he doesn't get it, there's a whole tantrum. Well, you see, God don't work like that. You can't give God a tantrum. Now, there's some people do try it. They blame God and everything. Yes. I went to work for a man one day, and before I even got, I was laying flags for him. Before I even got started, the fellow with me got a hold of him. He said, this boy's a preacher. And the next thing the man said was, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. And I said, well, that's your problem, not mine. I believe in him. So that was all right. Some of the people went away and he started talking to me. And I let him talk away and he started to tell me, why did God let this happen? Somebody was starving, somebody was this, somebody was that. And I let him talk for a little bit. And I stopped him and I says, now tell me this here. You tell me when I came here you didn't believe in God. But you've spent half an hour blaming God for everything. And I said, it's very strange that you don't believe in God, but yet you want to blame God. And off he went into the house. Condition of obedience. God wants obedience. I'll say, James, if you do such and such, and sometimes you'll do it. Dad, I've done that all, he says. I'll say, good lad. I'll get you whatever it was he wants. Now, there's somebody who's looking at the minute, but I don't know if I can get him out or not. I haven't got the money to get him it. He might get it and he mightn't get it. It'll all depend. I can't answer it at the minute. And then you see the problem I have, you see, as well. And we have it here in the Bible. It's not the problem, but I'm going to tell you it. You see, I have three sons. Just like you, Gary, I have three sons. Now you have the oldest, then they work their way down. And I'm the same. Daniel is coming 26, William 17, James is 12. Now, James is right smart. J.D. gets James David. And he said, Dad, do you remember you got Daniel? Not there. Would you not get me it? And then he says, Dad, and you remember you got William? Not there. And you not get me it? And then I'm going to go to the Bible and I'm going to say, Lord, you remember when a man turned his face and prayed. Daniel did it. You answered him. And your Bible says in Hebrews 13:8, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then it says in the book of James that Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. But when he prayed, he heard from heaven. So Lord, if you can get Peter the Holy Spirit and Paul the Holy Spirit and all these other people the Holy Spirit, you can give me the Holy Spirit. Because if they're your son and I'm your son and they were saved and I'm saved and they have the right that I have the right, then I can have what they have because you're the same. And you're no respecter of persons. So you don't pick somebody out and say, I'll give you this, but I won't give it to the other fella. You will give it to all that ask. But he wants us to obey him. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord will give you the Holy Spirit. according to the measure of our willingness and readiness to do God's will, we may accept the help of the Holy Spirit. In the matter of the will of every child, you know, that we're able to say, I and my Father are one. When the Holy Spirit moves us, when God moves us, we shall be fit to do what God wants us to do. Amen? You know, there must be the obedience. And it must be in the heart. Here's another condition. This is a condition today that not a lot of people want. This is a condition called waiting. Waiting. The Bible says in Isaiah, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And ever before the day of Pentecost come, they were told to tarry, and tarry means wait. Wait ye in Jerusalem. And God never let any preacher ever preach the gospel, hear me tonight, until he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He wasn't allowed to preach. Every single one of them disciples had to be filled with the Holy Spirit before they went forth. But after they were filled, they went forth in boldness. Now you remember, these men were hiding. They were hiding themselves. Because after Jesus went back to heaven, before the Holy Spirit came, they were in fear. They thought they would be crucified. They thought they would be murdered, and many of them were persecuted badly. And they hid themselves. But they waited on the promise, and the most unlikeliest man amongst them that had cursed and denied the Lord 3 times. But remember, Jesus prayed for them. And the prayer of Jesus now manifests in Peter. And Peter stands up and is filled with the Holy Ghost. And he says, men and brethren, this scripture must needs be fulfilled. And he preaches the Holy Ghost from the book of Acts. For it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I'll pour my spirit upon your sons and your daughters, and your young men will dream dreams, and your old men will see visions, upon my servants and my handmaidens I'll pour out of my spirit. He preaches to them from the book of Joel. And he says, this scripture must needs be fulfilled. And the Holy Ghost came on them. And the Bible says they went forth preaching everywhere with Holy Ghost boldness. And they had many a house meeting. And in Acts 4, they were refilled. Refilled, brother. They were filled in the day of Pentecost, baptized, and they're refilled in Acts 4 again. And they went forth. May God fill us again. I tell you, one baptism, many fillings. We need the Holy Spirit. But there's the waiting. Waiting upon the Lord. Luke 24:49. Tarry ye until ye be endued with power. I said this morning and I showed you, the Holy Ghost gives you power. But then you need faith to operate the power. Amen? And you can have it as well. Wait for the promise of the Father. Acts 1 verse 4. The disciples waited, and the filling came. There's some that seem to read these passages, work until you've been endued. I think that's how they read them. Work until you're endued. The Bible does not say work until you're endued. The Bible says wait. And here's another thing I'm going to tell you tonight. The Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost. And because the Holy Spirit was poured out the day of Pentecost, God can fill you tonight without waiting a minute. Did you know that? You can be filled now without even waiting. That's how mighty our God is. The Holy Spirit's been poured out. And God can fill you. And God can save a man and fill him right there and then at the same time. God's able to do it. And there's no working about it. Work for the promise of the Father doesn't say that. They're afraid to wait, lest all should go wrong. And God shouldn't, you know, do what he says he's going to do. But God will do what he says he's going to do. Now here's my last thought, but let me tell you this, and I put a little note in. Jesus was not permitted his disciples to preach the gospel until they received the Holy Ghost. People today are worried about education. Education, education, and education's good. I wish maybe I'd have been educated even more. There's one wee woman, and she've sort of made me read a lot at school. And I always thank the Lord now for that woman. But I wouldn't have been able to read. I was a bad reader. She made me do it. She's a wee Scottish woman too. All the way from Scotland. Just to get Tommy to read. But I'm glad she done it. Schooling's good. But you see, you could have a man that's a school teacher, that's a very learned man, and it happens a lot of times. And because he's learned and educated and he gets saved, then everybody thinks he'd be a great preacher. He's smart and he's educated. But he won't be if God doesn't call him. He needs the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Do you know why? Because the Bible says that God took unlearned and ignorant men, but they took knowledge that had been with Jesus. And the disciples were common fishermen. Common fishermen. But they were been with Jesus. And people knew they were with Jesus. They were like their father, weren't they? It wore off on them. It rubbed off on them. And have you ever been with somebody or somewhere enough to where it wears off on you? It rubs off on you. Amen. And it works two roads. It can be good or bad. I used to work with a big fella, and me and him worked together and joined him. We worked for years. And we worked for years, and he got to be, he never done any more cursing, because I don't curse. And he didn't do any cursing. Then I never saw him for a few years, and when I saw him, I was shocked how much cursing he was doing, because we weren't working together no more. And I'll tell you, it wears off on you. Birds of a feather flock together. My old grandmother used to tell me that all the time, birds of a feather flock together. If you hunt with the hares, if you hunt, what is it, hunt with the hounds and the hares? If you run with the hares, you'll be hunted with the hounds. And that's the truth. We need to keep with like-minded people. Amen? We need to try and fellowship with like-minded people. There's no point in me leaving here the night and going into the pub. I wouldn't enjoy it. I'd be like a square peg in a round hole. It's just not for me. And there's a lot of things and places you maybe have to go. You ever go somewhere and you feel uncomfortable because it's not for you? But then you go somewhere else and you just feel real comfortable. He wouldn't even let them preach until they received the Holy Spirit. And yet they could have been walking with him for years. And what the world needs today is the same filling. We need the same filling. Amen? We need the same baptism of power that them disciples had. And somebody said, but brother, the Lord won't do it today. Well, my Bible tells me in Acts 2:39, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. We can have the Holy Spirit. And I told you, if my James is smart enough to know that if I bought a certain thing for Daniel and then bought another certain thing for William, surely he's entitled it. And I know reading this Bible, if God could give an ignorant fisherman the Holy Spirit and other people the Holy Spirit, surely he could give me the Holy Spirit and you the Holy Spirit, and he can. Here's the last condition. It's the condition of prayer. Prayer is the last condition. Prayer. Your Heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. Luke 11:13. It was while Jesus was praying that the heavens was opened and the Holy Ghost descended. Luke 3:21. The Holy Spirit descended. It was when the disciples prayed and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts 4:31. That was after Pentecost. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. It was when Solomon had made an end of praying that the fire and the glory filled the house. 2 Chronicles 7:1. Prayer. Prayer is the key. Prayer is the way to get the power of God. Prayer is the way to get your family saved. Prayer is the way to get closer to God. We must read and we must pray. We heard this morning, faith, you want more faith? Read the Word of God. Read the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing. And by hearing the television, the newspaper. No, that will not give you faith. It's full of lies. But this Bible is the truth. It's the way, the truth, and the life. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:1.
read the Word of God. It's a lamp onto your feet and a light onto your path. And praying. You can pray for the Holy Spirit. Just like you pray to get saved. How we get saved? We pray. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you can receive the Holy Spirit by praying for the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you, we need a revival. This wee country of Northern Ireland needs a mighty move of God. We don't need another denomination or some great preacher. We need a move of the Holy Ghost sent upon us. That God would convict men and women in such a way that they'll cry out for mercy. In the revival that happened in this country many years ago, they found the children kneeling, young children kneeling in their schools, praying. The power of God broke loose on them and they prayed. God can do that still today. You know, I'll tell you this story and I'm closing tonight. You know, there was a tour went round England, and that was a minibus tour of young Christians. And they visited all the great places where God moved, and they visited John Wesley's place. And when they got back to the bus, there was one young man missing. And they went to find him, the man in charge, and he found him kneeling at the side of the bed for John Wesley knelt. And he was praying, "Lord, do it again." John Wesley knelt so often that the side of that bed, there was imprints of his knees on the floor. And you can go there your own self and you'll see the prints of his knees wore into the floor. And the young man that met, that got into them prints and began to pray was Billy Graham. And whether you agree with Billy Graham or not, that won't matter any bit to me. But there's one thing I know. Billy Graham was used of God to see people saved. I know that. And he's seen many, many thousands, I dare to say millions, that were saved. And I've heard people, they've read Billy Graham up and said all sorts of things about him. But I know he's a man of God. And you know, one night, in an auditorium, there was 10 gangsters. And they were coming to shoot Billy Graham. And they made a pact, the 10 of them made a pact to kill Billy Graham and shoot him. And they had revolvers with them to kill him. And when Billy Graham made the altar call, every one of them except one dropped their guns where they were and they ran to the altar. And 9 out of the 10 of them were saved and became ministers of the gospel. That's how I know God was with Billy Graham. He was Christ-like. And when you heard Billy Graham preaching, it touched you inside. Even to this day, if you play Billy Graham preaching, he's not like there's lots of preachers, but he was a special preacher because he was called to God. But he prayed. He got into them prints and he prayed and he said, "Lord, do it again." I tell you, God can do it again. God can move again. God can fill you. God can save your children. He can move in your house. But you just need to believe it. Let's stand our feet tonight. And you've listened well. Praise God. I just want every head bowed and every eye closed. And I'm going to pray tonight. And if you're here, and you would say, "Pastor, will you pray for me?" Will you lift your hand up before the Lord tonight? God bless you. God bless you. You have to feel the need. You feel the need. Then you pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the Word of God. We know your Word won't return void unto you. But I pray the Holy Ghost will move over men and women in this house tonight. Lord, I'm asking in the name of Jesus Christ, you'll save every lost soul and heal your people and touch them and fill them with the Holy Spirit. Lord, I'm asking you that you revive every one of us that's saved and fill us afresh with the Holy Ghost and move in this wee land in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, bless us as we come to the end of the service. Bless the song leader and all the musicians. And have your way amongst us, Father. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. As our brother comes, we'll be back on Thursday night at 7:30. And the Lord bless each one.
Amen. Praise God. Let's sing that hymn. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul which so long I had sought since Jesus came into my heart. Mm-hmm.